and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network, brought in conjunction with Clear Production Sports. I am the Midnight Rider. That is the big guy KG. That is the boss man B. We are bringing you another edition of the Sunday Rise. What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
I'm here.
All right, I'm good.
I'm feeling all right. How y'all doing, man?
I'm good, man. I feel like the music got cut. I don't know if we got the short version or what, because I didn't even get a chance to break into my.
That might be an unpaid version.
You know, you can't go more than, what is it, five? Anything more than five pumps is a five.
It's three. Five. It's more than three. More than three.
Oh, any more than three?
Yeah. That's
a personal five. Come on, Hingo.
Yeah. I was breaking up my seated Ray Lewis. You know what I'm saying? I was breaking it out.
Fellas, we've come to that point where we're at the top three picks of the draft, from 3-1. It's been a long, arduous journey, but the draft is Thursday. Yes, sir.
Give me a second.
Uh-oh. He got something up his sleeve. It might be a wardrobe change.
Wardrobe malfunction. Mm.
Lord knows we done had plenty of those on this show.
The mishap of shattered dreams.
I remember one time you talk about wardrobe malfunction. The camera went dark, came back, and the People's Choice Don Rodriguez ain't had no shirt on.
That's called Wild Irish Rose. That's called Wild Irish Rose. That's why you leave that stuff alone.
You all right now?
Yeah, we good. We good. No, I was trying to. I was doing some producer stuff on the backside of the program. Okay. I was trying to get another draft analyst on the show, but I forgot. I told him Tuesday and not today, so. Mm-hmm.
10-4.
So Tuesday we might have Jack Carr, one of the co-hosts on the All In Sports show that we do on Saturdays that airs in Richmond at 2:30 a.m. on, was it channel 12? So
10-4. All right. So let's start this thing off right. The New England Patriots, you are now on the clock.
Usually, I'll have pulled up all the needs for the teams. We don't probably need to do that this week because the top three teams have dire needs to change their franchise. And the only way to get your franchise back on the up and up is to have a great signal caller. So I think we're all in agreement that 3-2-1 are looking for a quarterback. Nothing else. Now, with that being said, could a draft day trade happen and somebody move back? Does it like another quarterback? Of course. But I feel like, and I'm not speaking for the Midnight Rider or the Big IKG, these three teams are going to stay put. And it's just a matter of right now what falls to the New England Patriots, who they like, and what fits the system for their new head coach. Midnight Rider?
I like the way you set that up because you're good at this, man. You're good at this.
I try.
So I think the only way New England doesn't take this pick is if the Los Angeles Superchargers decide to grow up here and get in front of the Arizona Cardinals because they have a hankering for Marvin Harrison Jr. That's the only way I see this pick not being taken. I don't see the Vikings having enough to go from 11-3 without mortgaging their future. I don't see like a team like the Giants jumping up because they would just stay pat at six and figure out the quarterback position from there if they're drafting a quarterback. So – With that being said, with the third pick in the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Drake May from North Carolina. And the reason behind that is, well, we obviously know that how that's going to play out, one and two now. But the reason I think it's May for them is because they need a signal caller, and he's the next best guy. I mean, there's been talk about McCarthy here. I just don't think McCarthy – I still struggle with McCarthy being even in the top 10. But I get it from the NFL standpoint or the offensive coordinator standpoint. He's a winner. He's been in a pro-style offense. You know, he's got the mechanics down of being under center and play action and things of that nature. But I still just think Drake May has a bigger upside. I think the difference between J.J. McCarthy and Drake May is Drake May can have you winning 12 games. McCarthy can have you winning anywhere from 7 to 10. The only problem is Drake May's floor is 5. You could be a 5-win team or a 12-win team. I think with J.J. McCarthy, you're a 7 to 10-win team all the time, hands down.
Now, are we, you know, we've been ran into the ground that, you know, it's Daniels, Drake May, Daniels, Drake May. We, you know, is there, and I know we haven't got to two yet, but is there realistically where a team maybe not in love with Drake May? I mean, is there a drop off from Jaden Daniels to Drake May? I guess that's what I'm saying. Is there enough drop off where New England be like, that's not our guy. We're going to let somebody else move up and grab him. Maybe we'll, because if you're New England here, you don't get your quarterback this year. You're going to be probably top 5 or top 6 again next year, right? And if you move back, grab more picks, and start building that team around whatever may be coming out next year, maybe you're more in love with something next year. Is that a possibility? Or are we sitting, if you're New England big guy, are you sitting and staying and you're going to go get Drake May?
Did you know he's on mute?
Defeated.
Mute button one means zero. Looking over this roster, you got Jacoby Brissett, Nathan Rourke, Bailey Zappe. Those are your three quarterbacks on the roster right now. They picked up Antonio Gibson in free agency. I guess he'll be your feature back. They don't really have – they got talent at receiver, but production. You know, you can have talent, but are you going to get production from Juju, Jalen Reagor, KJ Osborne, Kendrick Bourne? Are you going to get production from those guys? Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper. Austin Hooper used to be a talent in this league. Now he's a number two tight end?
He's been a number two tight end. He just got paid like he was a one. But I mean, that receiving core just sound like Bell, Bill, DeVoe. Like, they don't have a – just for you, KG, I'll say it. They don't have a Ralph, a Johnny, or a Bobby. All right? I'll help you out with that. They don't have a number one in that receiving group.
I saying that that's Bell, Bib, DeVoe.
Sound like a bunch of number threes. That's what it sounds like.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that's the receiving core sound like, but don't ever disrespect Bell, Bib, DeVoe like that.
No. I'm saying the receiving core, not Bell, Bib,
DeVoe. No, I'm saying from a singer standpoint, Bib, DeVoe, it's like you're not going – if you go to see Bell, Bib, DeVoe, then and you were born after 1980 – no, not happening.
The contributions to New Jack's, I'm not even going to go there with you right now because you're going to give me a headache. But you got to have a quarterback to throw to these guys. I don't – this is a tough spot to be in. I wouldn't want to be in this spot as a GM or a coach. Because you need a receiver. You need a number one. And they didn't get one in free agency. And it seems like they're doing things the Bill Belichick way still. But you don't have a number one receiver.
I mean
that's yet to be seen. They really ain't. I think this draft was, you'll see kind of Mayo's stamp on the team, and kind of the Midnight Rider says it all the time. What type of player they want? What type of team they want to be? Like I said, it's just going to be a, hey, we're going to move back and we're going to get a slew of picks because somebody's in love with Drake May and we're not. Or it could be Jaden Daniels. Drake May could be gone. And it could be Jaden Daniels sitting in there like, we're just not in love with this guy. We're going to move back. We're going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. We're going to move back a couple and then set it up for next year. So we'll see. We'll see what the next generation of coaching and New England patriotism finds. Whatever it is, if you're a New England Patriots fan, you're going to be finishing behind the Buffalo Bills. I just want to let you know that it don't matter if you get Drake May, Ronald Reagan. It doesn't matter who you put back there. All right, George H.W. Bush, George H. Bush, Chris Brown, Doodoo Brown, Patriots third or less. It don't matter. Go get whoever you want to go get. That's our division. I just had to put that in there.
Matty Ice checking in from outside of Philadelphia. He say, watching for 15 minutes, waiting for a table at Cracker Barrel outside of Philly, heading home. Safe travels, Matty Ice. Make sure you get the Sunrise Sampler with the fried apples.
So would he be in, like, West Philadelphia? He wouldn't be born and raised. Like, on the playground, he wouldn't spend most of his days. Okay.
Oh. So with this, BJ, you said something. Yeah. One of you guys said something. Said trading back and getting Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. lasts past pick five. So how far?
I said was, my theory was, if you're trading back, so a team like the Chargers or the Giants jump up so they can take Marvin Harrison Jr. away from the Arizona Cardinals. Because like, I got to give my guy his props. But the young guy on 106/980, Linnell Willingham, has a great phrase. He's like, you got to be, and BJ kept getting close to it, but he never said it. But you got to be, to take the quarterback, you got to be kind of Beyonce crazy in love with that QB to take him at this point. And if you're not, then you also have to have the resolution not to settle. And you have to figure out what you want next. Because if you're not in love with Drake May or you're not in love with J.J. McCarthy, you don't take them here. You either take the next best player or you trade back if you have a suitor to trade back. And that could honestly, and I think that's the wild card in the situation. The wild card is whoever gets taken at two, if New England's not in love with the third person or a third person, then they can't settle. They can't want no scrub.
Because a scrub is a guy that can't get no love? I'm going to go with Drake May with this pick. This will be a Drake May pick. Now, the Washington Commanders.
You know, we're not getting the draft music or nothing.
I gave you the draft music the first time. I'm giving it to you now.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
The Washington Commanders are now on the clock. Picking number two again. Oh, Matty Ice got a real good question. What if New England takes Harrison?
That's the scenario. We just talked about it. We talked through it. If they're not crazy in level one, the quarterbacks, they could take Harrison themselves because they need an influx of talent. And you just described their receiving core. And that receiving core is poison. So you got to get something. You got to get you a number one. So Harrison is the right fit. You know? Like, you got to want that quarterback like BBD likes a big butt and a smile. So you tell me, if you're not in love with that or that's not what you want, then you got to move on to the next position. Best available.
Yeah. And either you're going to, like, you know, like we just talked about, either you're going to move back, but somewhere, if you stay here, like, you got to hit your home run with this pick. This got to be a number one guy. This has, whether it's, whether you go wide receiver, whether you go offensive line, whatever, this has to be a franchise changing guy.
Exactly.
And you're telling him, hey, help is on the way. Help is on the, way.
And again, if you're not in love with this pick, you got to cool it down. You got to slow it down, or you're going to lose control.
And here we go with pick number two.
Cool it down.
Look.
Ooh, watch out.
Commanders are another team that are in dire need of a franchise quarterback. And it depends on what they're in love with here. I think might depend on what the New England Patriots do at three, because they're in a better position. They're in a way better position. They kind of get their choice. They know, you know what's going first, right? So here, once again, what type of guy you want?
You gotta find your type.
What type of guy you want to lead the charge? And they have their from what we understand, they're going to have their choice of Jaden Daniels or Drake May. So this is going to set the tone for the rest of the draft. And you two guys, lifelong Washington fans, I'm going to let y'all chop it up to what type of guy moving forward you think the Washington Commanders are going to, you know, have on the center. This is it right here. This is what you've been waiting for. Talk to me.
I think our type has, from what I've seen from this offseason, is athletic, it's fast, and it's electric. And those words and those things all sound like, to me, Jaden Daniels. Now, will I be upset if they say Drake May? No. Because right now, I think this show is brought to you by Linnell Willingham in New Edition. But the second pick, if you're not crazy in love with this person, we're at the mercy of the evaluators. And if the evaluators feel that Drake May is better, then they take him here. But since this is my mock, or this is what I think, I'm taking Jaden Daniels. I think he's the better of the two. I did call him the fall guy. I did call him a stuntman. If you listen to the show during the football season, and he made me nervous. But he is one of the better quarterbacks in this league. I think he ended the year at two and then went one because of winning the Heisman. But we've been high on this kid probably since about October. I loved him when he was at Arizona State. I thought that the class that was going to come out would have featured, I think COVID really messed this class up, because you had Sam Howell, you had Jaden Daniels, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. You had a slew of quarterbacks that all came in right around the same time. And they kind of got lost in this mix, in this fray, with this COVID season and everything. So I'm taking Jaden Daniels. I think he can add another 10 pounds of muscle to his frame. If you're worried about him not having the weight, I think he can easily add 10 pounds to that frame and not lose an ounce of speed if he does it right. I mean, he can even add it the wrong way through Burger King, Mumbo Sauce and Wings, with fried rice, KG, because he's not a Philistine. And he'd be okay.
Get to JoJo's comment. She says, Drake May is Sam Howell 2.0.
That's not true.
Y'all Sam Howell get you.
Sam Howell is 5'11". Drake May is 6'4", 220.
Here's where
the only comp is they went to North Carolina.
Here's where I have so much, I guess you could say, trepidation. Because we've picked number two plenty of times. And it's like the number two pick for us never reaches its full potential. You think about the last time we picked number two, the last number two pick we had as the Washington Redskins. That was Chase Young. We know how that happened, how that turned out. Yes, sir.
No, no, no. I know where you're going. I'm not cutting you off. I don't. This is not me doing Kanye saying that Beyonce had the better album. I'm not doing that right now. The reason I'm chiming in is people keep bring up Chase Young as if there was another option.
I'm not.
This city. No, no. Hear me out. Hear me out. No. This. I'm on your side this time. Trust me. When I say this, you'll be like, "Oh yeah, he's on my side." This city, guys like UKG, the guys like Disco and the Paulies, the callers of the city would not have allowed this team to draft a quarterback at number two and displace Dwayne Haskins. The other person that wasn't going to allow this team to draft a quarterback to replace Dwayne Haskins is probably now on a yacht somewhere in the Mediterranean with the initial DS, Daniel Snyder. He wasn't going to allow that to happen. You took Chase Young because Chase Young was the best option for you. They weren't taking Andrew Thomas, the tackle that the Giants have, because if you watched his career, he really hasn't been consistent. So Chase Young was the best person. He just got the wrong results because I think he got to Hollywood after year one. Then he got hurt. And then after that, it just was a dovetail and a tailspin.
Okay. You talk about getting to Hollywood. You go to the last time before that, we had the number two pick. You wound up getting Robert Griffin III, who still, after all these years, talking about this franchise to a point where it's nauseating because he always has something to say. You go back to 2000, LeVar Arrington. You go back even further, Norm Snead was number two. It's like, you think about all the number two picks, and it's like, God, what? What?
Who pulls Norm Snead? Yo, this is why I love you. Because only you can pull Norm Snead as the number two pick. And just say it like nonchalantly, like, oh yeah, Norm Snead was the number two pick. You know, I was breaking down the tape of that 1946 draft. And it was either him or Sid Luckman or Sonny Jurgensen coming out that year. Like, my mock was totally different. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Norm Snead was the 61 draft. Thank you very much.
Oh, this is that's your era right there. 61 to 62.
But you look at that. It didn't pan out the way you would think it would because he wound up getting traded out of here. My whole point, and it's funny you said Sonny, he got traded out of here for Sonny to the Eagles. But my whole point is I'm scared with this number two pick because I don't want the past to repeat itself. I don't want history to repeat itself. I don't want a quarterback to come in here because I know it's going to be a quarterback. It doesn't matter if it's Caleb. It doesn't matter if it's Jaden. It doesn't matter if it's Mark Rippon Jr. I don't care, but a quarterback's coming in here. And I don't want them to come in and the glitz and glamour of DC has them on getting to Hollywood. Because if you think about it, what was the biggest downfall for Chase? You said it. Same downfall for RG3. Got to Hollywood.
I wonder if Rob is still using my crock pot that I sent them for his wedding gift.
First and second wedding.
The first one, the only one that mattered, because that's when he was here. Mm. I also sent them a duvet cover, but I mean, duvet, smoove.
The other thing you have to take into account is the atmosphere, the coaching, the ownership that was in place. And I think you're seeing it now with Chase Young. It's just like nobody wants to touch him. I think he signed New Orleans. It was in New Orleans he signed?
Yep.
Nobody wants to touch the guy because He didn't, for unfortunately, you know, and I'll go back to the whole Eli Manning balk at the trade deadline. And if you look back at it now, once you grow up a little bit and understand sports, when you go to a franchise that is basically a death trap and doesn't have standards, doesn't have a way, you know what I'm saying? And then for Chase Young, you walk to the 49ers and it's like, nah, we don't do that here. You know, we don't do that here. What are you doing? You know, you have to have, one, you have to have your type. And when you have your type, you have to have a way of life. And this organization used to have that. This organization used to be that you come in, it was discipline, structure. It was, you know, you still felt love, but, you know, you knew you had, you had a standard that you had to play up to. And that was lost, you know, over the last 20 years or so. And, you know, you're hoping now that with Dan Quinn in place and, you know, the new ownership that changes that narrative and that you could come in here and start fresh with a new QB and stuff. So I don't necessarily agree with KG when he says, you know, the hometown and getting Hollywood. I just think that's a product of the franchise.
But everybody comes to DC and gets Hollywood.
You can't get Hollywood if you're not winning. One. I mean, RG3 had a gripe to be Hollywood. He had probably
tell one. Andre
Blatch wasn't rookie of the year. Andre Blatch, nobody thinks if Andre Blatch didn't have an injury, he would probably be. If RG3 continued that first season, what type of career are we talking about? What type of numbers are we talking about if he never gets injured? We're not talking about that with Andre Blatch. We're not talking about that with Kelly Oubre. We're not talking about that with Bradley Beal.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think the thing with RG, and I remember that year, that was 2012. That was probably one of the most electrifying years in DC sports because you had just lost. You just had the Nat season, and you were coming off for the game five loss, but still you were in the playoffs because you weren't expecting them to be there. You have this moment with this young quarterback. You have the Vikings run. You have the drive against the Giants up in New York, where if Madu Williams even played a modicum of safety the right way, they would have won that ball game and wouldn't have had to have a 7-game win streak or a 6-game win streak to get into the playoffs. You're talking about a guy that had moments, electricity in every moment that season. Starting with game one against New Orleans with the Griffin-y. So yeah, you had, I mean, the guy had people sending him gifts for his wedding after he hurt his knee. And the only thing I thought at that time was, as long as this kid can get back healthy, we're going to be trouble the rest of the time. Can you imagine if he was healthy and we had that going for the last 10 years? I mean, it's a whole different story. You don't have the division. You don't have you don't have our version of the Civil War. Because I think in 2013, 14, and 15, it became Civil War. It became Captain America versus Iron Man. It was Kirk Cousins versus RG3. And depending on what side of the platform you stayed on, defined this team and this quarterback market. And I know I switched. I went over to Team Cousins. Because I was breaking down tape. And when I watched the tape, I saw certain things that he was doing that Robert wasn't doing. And that's just how it was. Like, we have suffered. And this is probably explaining your PTSD about this number two pick. But we've suffered through bad quarterback play, bad picks, bad coaching, bad general managers, the whole non-existent general managers. Hopefully this is a paradigm shift where we're actually doing the right things to get to the right spots. And every little step we take, we'll be putting ourselves in the right spot to be a better team.
I hope so, because JoJo says, I hope y'all get him talking about Jaden Daniels. I know he's, I'm talking about Drake May. I'm sorry. I hope y'all get him. I know he's bigger. That's the 2.0, same in my opinion. Same play in my opinion, but hey.
Nah, all good, man, Joe.
Y'all got to get out of that mindset. It's a whole new organization now. Got to be optimistic. It's hard. I think Thanos, we said that. AKA Ross, said it best. It's like being in an abusive relationship. You can't get out of that mindset right then and there. You have to work to get out of that. And we've been abused by this team and this organization for years, for 20 some odd years. We've been abused. Most of us grew up to making the playoffs, being Super Bowl contenders at every turn. And then you get new ownership in who's a fan who grew up the same way, and you think that they're going to continue to win in tradition, but instead they want to be like the guy down in Dallas. They don't want to be themselves. So we got to keep dealing with that, and then we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. You know, we're not even the cream. We're getting the sewage, the sludge that's on the bottom. And we got that for 23 years.
And that sewage and that sludge came out, what was that, game one last year? All over people. So hopefully that's our cleansing process.
And then BJ said something about Eli Manning and the balk at the trade and not wanting to play with the Chargers. If Eli would have played with the Chargers, he wouldn't have a Hall of Fame career that he has now. But Phillip Rivers would. Phillip Rivers would still be a Hall of Famer.
I don't know about that. What? Never mind.
Go ahead and say it, man. Phillip Rivers not a Hall of Famer?
No. Now I'm dying rain day, yo. I'm not going there today.
Numbers don't lie. But
hold on. So you're telling me that if you give Eli Manning, LaDainian Tomlinson, Antonio Gates, he can't have the same career as Phillip Rivers?
I don't think so.
Are you really telling me this?
I don't think so. I think Eli was talented, but I don't think he was Phillip. I think Phillip Rivers is more talented, but that's just my opinion. Phillip Rivers has something you can't measure.
Okay.
I love it. I love when I can quiet him down like that with shit. JoJo says the new owner, everything. Had I still been there, I'm psyched. Just breathe, but I get it. They did a outing at Top Golf with Jaden Daniels. What was that day before? Yeah, I think it was Friday night. He came in. They did an outing at Top Golf.
It was Wednesday? Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, that was cool. Rumor had it that, you know, his agent was saying, oh, don't pick him. Y'all, we not playing here. And then it came out, well, he has to play wherever he's picked, and he's going to go wherever he's picked. He's just going to ride it out. So I heard that the rumor has it that the interaction didn't go well at Top Golf, but if it did go well, nobody's going to say, oh, it went well. You got to act clandestine when you're doing these things.
Cool. I'll give you a drop for that. Dropping clandestine in a regular conversation.
But that's the way you got to do it. So, but I think this right here is, without a shadow of a doubt, I think this is Jaden Daniels, number 2 overall pick. Over to the number 1 pick. This is easy. Chicago Bears. You are now in the clock. The Chicago Bears need a motor, a transmission, ball joints, brakes, rotors, new brake lines, They pretty much need a whole new vehicle. But I think quarterback may be their top priority.
They got five choices here to make. It's like the five hottest rappers of all time. They got five choices. Caleb. That's their choice. That's their decision they're making. And I have to give props to another podcast, Pivot Podcast. Their interview with Caleb Williams. If you haven't looked at it, if you're not watching or you're not planning on watching the game today because your team choked in the play-in tournament, you could probably watch the Caleb Williams interview and enjoy it because you're not watching playoff basketball right now.
I feel like you just
took a shot. Not when your team, because your team isn't playing. I mean, this is for anybody that doesn't have a team that made it past the play-in tournament and are now watching playoff basketball from home.
Sound like you're taking a shot.
Me, KG, of all the people, me? Would I do that?
Yes.
Okay. Just so you know. He had an interview and he impressed me. He was talking about his time in the WCAC. He talked about his time in Oklahoma. I question, because we all know the jump in the stands heard around the world where he jumped in the arms, his mom cried. I saw that and I took it a certain way. I told you it dropped him down in my evaluation. Because I wasn't just sure of the person he was, but I watched the interview and I will give him props and give credit that I made a knee-jerk reaction to what I saw. I think the kid is good to go. I think he has the goods. I think he, I still question if he can throw on time in the quarterback situation from a pocket. But if he can do those things, throwing on time from the pocket, making things work, then I see no reason why Caleb isn't going to be a generational player in this league. And the fact that Chicago has finally decided to layer talent around a gifted quarterback, Chicago can actually steal this draft in the next two drafts. Because if they make a move at 9, I think they're at either 8 or 9 with their second pick and pick up picks, Chicago can monopolize the top of the next two drafts in a way that teams can't do or haven't done. And they can put themselves in position because you got Keenan Allen on one side, you got DJ Moore, you've got the tight end Cole Kmet, you've got Rashawn Johnson in the backfield from Texas, who's going to be a star once they take the cuffs off of him and stop trying to believe in Khalil Herbert. This team could be in the playoffs next year because their defense is going to be top notch. You put another DN on the other side of Montez Sweat and with your corners and your linebackers, Chicago could be right there in the mix of things, even beating the Packers that JoJo so loves. And it could be Chicago's division next year to win, to take. Just with a couple of the right moves in the next 3 days, or I should say in the days coming. This could be Chicago's division to lose if they make the right picks. And that starts with Caleb Williams.
JoJo says the pivot did like the interview with Caleb. I wish he wasn't going to the Bears. I know a couple of Bears fans out there that are really, really happy about this, but here's my thing. What's going to change in the coaching of a Caleb Williams that you couldn't do with Justin Fields? Because Justin Fields showed flashes when he got coached, but what's the difference?
The difference is the offensive coordinator. Luke Getsy, Gentry, whatever his name is, that they fired and got rid of was the problem. I wish I could pull up the episode. I might have it saved. And if I have it saved, I'm going to pin it and send it to you guys. I'm going to post it in the group. where like Donald Butler and the guy from NFL Films, Greg Cosell, they break down how the Chicago Bears offense, literally, they have the right play, but it's poorly structured getting to that result. So it's like the offense is getting in the way of finding success because the way it's set up. Like some coaches will scheme a guy open, will seem like they poorly scheme their offense, but guys still accidentally got open. And that's the difference. There's a reason why people love playing for Shanahan, or we think that when Kyle Shanahan gets a quarterback, whoever that quarterback is going to find success. It's because of the structure of the offense. But when you have a poorly structured offense, Gentry, and you have poor talent on that offense, Chicago, what's the kid, Moody? Moody can't be your number one receiver. The same thing I say in Carolina. In Carolina, you can't have Adam Thielen as your number one. Not at 34. He can't be your number one. You're hustling backwards. You're getting in the way.
You want to root for Caleb. I think everybody does, for the most part. And Luke was gone last year. He wasn't the OC last year.
Yes, he was.
He got fired in the middle of the season, didn't he?
Or at the end of the season. But Luke is terrible.
They got Shane Waldron now as their offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I just...
And if I'm not mistaken, Shane Waldron was a Rams OC or a Rams coach at one point in time. Before he went to Seattle, if we can look up his lineage, and if that's the case, then we're talking about a Sean McVay type offense. And Caleb Williams is going to thrive if Shane Waldron is even close to being like just the belief in the Kyle Shanahan offense. And if he can just breathe life, some of that life into it, he's going to be fine. Caleb Williams is going to be fine.
Well, before he came to Chicago, Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator, Rams passing game coordinator, quarterbacks coach, tight ends coach, and he was also here in D.C. offensive quality control coach.
I'm telling you, that tree, baby. That's why I love whatever Atlanta's going to – I think Atlanta, I'm telling you right now, you can book it. I think Bijan's gonna have one of the best seasons a running back can have, because he's got Zach Robinson, who's also another Kyle Shanahan / Sean McVay tree of trust person. So we're gonna be good, or they're gonna be good. I'm not saying we. I shouldn't say we, because you know how I feel about Bijan. I think everybody on this that has done a Sideline Junkie show knows how I feel about Bijan.
Well, we know about that on draft night last season.
Bijan, baby.
You talked about him during the draft process last year. Every conversation.
Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs, baby.
So, but I think, no doubt, this is Caleb Williams. Call a spade a spade. With these young quarterbacks, this is what I want to see. And I've talked about it for the longest. And I know the boss, BJ, he had to run. I think the Midnight Riders said it to me also. The old school way of doing things doesn't happen anymore. You know, you take these guys, you put them with a veteran, and have the veteran show them how to be a professional. But you also, you coach these guys up to the point that they're not afraid to make a mistake. They're not looking over their shoulder when they make a mistake. No, you expect them to make a mistake. Pretty much, when you got a young quarterback, you have to turn into Miss Frizzle. You got to let them get messy and make mistakes. That's what you got to do. You have to. And I hope that happens in Chicago. I hope that happens here in D.C. I hope it happens in New England. Because when you draft a young quarterback, if you want them to start right away, you got to expect the bumps in the road. You got to expect the mistakes, all of that. But you also have to coach them up to the point where something you said about Caleb Williams not getting rid of the ball on time. You have to figure out as a coach how to hide that. So you can work on it in private, but during the game, you can hide that. You can start making off-schedule throws to make him look appeasing until you get him on schedule. And then once he gets on schedule, you're good. Then you work on the next thing. You know, you kind of polish him off. You get him, and then you polish him. That's it. Don't expect him to be a world beater right out the gate. That's all I'm saying.
So do we get, now that BJ's gone, do we get to kind of go off script a little bit more now?
Well, I mean, we're going to go off script anyway.
Let's go! Let's go!
JoJo said it's wild because we had Luke and he did so poor. Some people just not ready for a huge coaching position. It's true.
There's a line that somebody said, and I'm going to give it credit to JP Finley, but he says sometimes people fail up. So they do their job poorly, but somehow they still keep getting ascending roles. And for Luke is, for me, the antithesis of that. When I watch him, and I think he's in Oakland now. I mean, not Oakland. I said Oakland. Las Vegas to be the Raiders coach. And I just think they're going to have an issue. If we can have some freelance for the draft, I'd love to right now. I know we don't have banners built out for this.
Okay.
Let's call it the Midnight Rider Playland. Cause I'm trying to have, there's prospects in this draft that I see for certain teams that seem like fits. And I'm having problems not talking about this. So first and foremost, if the Commanders don't trade up into the first round to draft a tackle, and they're sitting at 36 and 40, at 36, get your tackle. I just don't think you can get your starter at tackle, left tackle, at 36. I think you have to go up and get him. So I think at somewhere between 20 and 30, they'll go up and they'll draft the kid Mims or Guyton out of Oklahoma, one of the two tackles. Mims is from Georgia. Guyton is from, whatchamacallit. But if they can still hold on to 40 while making that move, there's a guy. And I know you're going to, when I say his name and I say his school, you're going to see a little bias here because I've talked about a certain school that wears certain colors. They have a certain quarterback that I love tremendously. So I'm going to go ahead and say it. The kid's name is Adonai Mitchell. He's a wide receiver. He transferred from Georgia to the University of Texas. He's like 6'3", 6'4", but he can do a little bit of everything. And he would be the perfect receiver to put on the other side of Terry McLaurin and give the Washington Commanders a dynamic offense. So if you can get your tackle, still hold on to 40, and draft the Adonai Mitchell, I'm telling you right now, I don't care what else they do on day two of the draft. I'm going to be happy, so happy. I'm talking about, like, what's that song by, what's your boy, Pharrell? Happy? That's me. I'm gonna be singing that all over the place. Another person I think is a fit for a team is Braylon Allen, running back, Wisconsin, to the Dallas Cowboys. And if it's not him, it's Jonathan Brooks. But the Cowboys got to come out of this draft with one of those two running backs. Because you've heard me say it all year long that Tony Pollard was a little light in the candy land, in the tail feathers, and they needed somebody that could thump. And I think either one of these two young men can thump for them. Another person or another team, I'm going to say the obvious. Blake Corum has to go to the Los Angeles Chargers. Blake Corum is the perfect back for Jim Harbaugh. He was the perfect back for Jim Harbaugh, and he will continue to be the perfect back for Jim Harbaugh. Who else do I have? I'm trying to get anything else that's sitting there on the top. Latau. I can't think of his first name because he played at UCLA. He's a defensive end. Latau or Jared Verse, if they can end up in Buffalo, that's another match made in heaven because Buffalo needs a pass rusher. They do need a receiver too, but receiver is so – there's so many receivers in this draft that if Buffalo didn't take one at the 20 spot, they can get one in the second round as long as they got their second round pick. So a guy like Latau from UCLA, who's their edge rusher, actually, to be honest with you, if the Commanders traded up into the second round and took that kid, I'd be ecstatic about that too, because I'd love the possibilities with that. Another person, this is a riff. Another person I'd love the Commanders to end up with, Chop Robinson. Yes, he went to Penn State. Yes, he wore number 11. Yes, he's built like Micah Parsons. Yes, I think they could do the same things with him that Dan did with Micah Parsons. The expectations would be out of the roof, but I think that's another kid that could be a transcendent player in this draft. Let me see if I can go low-hanging fruit. Marshawn Lloyd, running back, USC. I think he could go somewhere like Baltimore. He could go somewhere like the Texans. Even though the Texans have Joe Mixon, if you can put a kid like that behind him, well, he's explosive. My sleeper running back in this group, Bucky Irvin. He's probably going to be a day two, day three guy. The kid has all – I would love him to come here, but what them picking up Austin Ekeler takes him off of our draft board. So I think he can end up somewhere else. I'd actually love for him to go to the Rams. Bucky Irvin in Sean McVay's system. A Trey Benson in Sean McVay's system. We're talking easy money, 1,000 yards, just put it in. Because you can put Bucky Irvin or Trey Benson along with Kyren Williams, the kid they got at Notre Dame that we talked about 2 years ago on this show, that finally came into fruition this year. Yeah. I got these running back crushes that I watch college football, baby. I watch college football.
Yeah.
And next year, with the number one pick, somebody's going to be taking. Do you know who my number one quarterback is next season? You probably do.
Quinn Ewers.
There we go. There we go, baby.
Who I heard looked very well in spring ball this year.
Quinn Ewers going to look good no matter what.
I think he was 21 for like 270 yards or something like that.
His only problem is being healthy. If he can stay healthy this season,
But I also heard that Arch Manning was looking good too.
Don't matter. Arch Manning can look good, and you know who he's going to play good against? Toledo. Birmingham State. Little Sisters of the Poor. Because he'll get his reps then. Unless Quinn gets hurt. And I think Arch played it right because he'll play out the 2 years with what you call it. And I personally felt like, I mean, you heard me say this, I felt like Arch didn't play against top-notch talent in high school. And this time in Texas is actually getting him better. Iron sharpens iron, as they say, or as the saying goes. And that's actually a poem that a friend of mine, Nick Ellis, wrote that's dope. And I'm going to try to find it, and I'll send it to you guys. But yeah, there's this. I think Arch Manning is in the right situation because Steve Sarkisian is going to do him right. The only problem I have well, not even with Texas, is Michigan. Because if Alex Orji isn't the starting quarterback at Michigan next year, then we got a problem. And he needs to transfer ASAP.
All right.
So unsolicited. Next year. No, we're good. You can change the banner. Don't matter. Unsolicited, I think. This is off the top of my head because I haven't really broke this down. But I think my top five QBs going into next year. What do I have? I think I have Shadors. I have Quinn at one. Shadors two. The Georgia quarterback is number three. Cam Ward, the quarterback at Miami, is number four. And then somebody else. Who's number five? We'll leave five open for reservation right now because I don't want to give five away to the wrong person. But that's my top four for right now going into next year. Oh, the Ole Miss quarterback is number five. That's it. That's all I got. So we can go to what we eating.
What you eating?
This weekend is a very humble weekend. I think I'm throwing, I got like some frozen burgers, patties that I bought. I do a double stack, lettuce, sharp cheddar cheese on a, actually, no, I don't have brioche today.
Mm.
Oh, I ate both of my brioche buns yesterday. What am I going to do? I guess I got to use regular hamburger buns. I'm going to be a commoner and have regular hamburger buns instead of brioche buns.
But
yesterday I tore it up. I had the burgers. I had I did some onions because I cook it in the oven, so that way I ain't got to do a whole bunch of dishes. I roasted the onions in the, you know, on the pan that the burgers were on. Put the cheese on it. I went French's mustard, French yellow mustard. For the first one. And then later on for dinner, I did A1 sauce on the burger. Today, I think I'm going to do mayo. I got like this little garden salad. I'm going to take some of the lettuce from that, throw that on it. If we have bacon, I'm going to add bacon. And we're going to do that for lunch. Dinner, I'm going to do roasted chicken tenderloin. The little I'm going to chop those up into small chunks, and I'll figure out some kind of dish with that. Because normally when I cook, what I've learned is I'll cook on Sunday, have a plan that I'm going to eat this for the rest of the week, and then by Tuesday, I'm like, I don't want nothing. Like, I don't want none of this.
It happens.
You know what it is? We talk about it all the time. Like when you go grocery shopping and then you get home and then you order takeout.
Yes.
That's it. You know what? I might get fancy today. I might, depending on how much it costs, I might order because I've been doing this lately. I've been big in my sushi, getting my sushi game on. So there's a spot on Pennsylvania Avenue in the Eastern Market area where I'll order sushi from. I'll get either the California roll or the whatever the salmon, the spicy salmon roll. But that gets expensive if I order two of those.
I'm doing leftovers today, so.
I went through all that and still don't know what the heck I'm getting. I'm actually eating.
I'm doing leftovers. So,
at your house, you got great leftovers thanks to your wife, the great cooking she does.
Well, I'm trying to give her a break. She wants to get in the kitchen and she wants to make. I left out last night to go to mom's house and shout out to moms. I spent time with my mom last night. Well, yesterday afternoon into.
Did she have a North Carolina shirt on?
When you got no, did not.
Okay.
I spent time at her house. I washed some clothes and sat there and talked to her first time, quite some time. We spent that much time together. Normally, we just always on the phone. Even though she
say her like casually, give her props, give her a just due, say her name, let everybody know, because not everybody knows your mom in Sideline Junkie Land.
Well, that's my mom.
Come on, dog. Come on. I mean, seriously,
mother.
It's because your mom is always in. She's active in the group.
Yeah, she's active in the comments on a lot of shows too. My mom is Dolores Carroll.
Yeah.
And
give her flowers.
I spent a little time with her yesterday.
And, I mean, she's a North Carolina flame. That's the start there. She's a saint. Great human being, pillar of the community. She raised you. I mean, and she's a North Carolina fan. I mean, what more can I say?
She's a North Carolina supporter. She's a Maryland fan, but she's a North Carolina supporter.
Doesn't matter. All I hear is North Carolina fan, no matter how you say it.
But I spent some time with her yesterday, and I come home, and my beautiful wife was in the kitchen, had made dessert for the kids, because she promised them dessert.
Okay.
She made cupcakes and brownies, and then she was like, I still need to make something else. I don't know what I'm going to make yet. And I'm like, hey, slow down, baby. We tired. But for the most part, I got it great, because my wife's, I call her a creator. My wife's a creator.
Okay.
She's not a warmer up or like, she'll create a dish and roll with it. So
hold on. Cause now I'm curious. Cause I know what your address is. So I might have to stop by it depending on what these leftovers sound like.
Oh no, this ain't nothing she cooked. No, this is
okay. Never mind.
We ordered food.
She ain't cook it. I don't want it.
Nah, this is nothing that she cooked. So
okay.
But yeah, I'm doing leftovers today. But
I might do wings. Just like, pardon me. I just don't feel like cooking today. What can I get that? Oh, before I even go any further, Roman Rooster, have you gone yet?
No. Every time I say I'm gonna go, I ride past and the line's down the street.
Dog, you gotta go to Roman Rooster. You gotta get the chicken sandwich itself. Is like, I ordered the mild chicken sandwich last week or 2 weeks ago, and when I ate it, I thought I picked the wrong sandwich. Like, I thought I picked the spicy one, and my godmother was like, nah, my sandwich was hot too. So I was like, all right. But I'm gonna tell you now, it's just like Five Guys. So if it's two, three of y'all, you don't have to get a bunch of fries. You get one order of fries, because they will dump fries in the bag.
Okay.
They're hand cut. They're cooked in, I don't know if it's peanut oil or whatever, but the fries are good. The sandwich themselves, dog, just go ahead and indulge. All right? Now, I wouldn't recommend taking all the kids, because that could get pricey. But again, it's a good meal. The value was great. I stand by Roman Rooster chicken sandwiches.
All right. I'll put that on the list. I will. I got to say this before we get out of here. The news came out yesterday. I'm still a big ESPN fan.
Oh, yes. Go ahead. You got to get this one out.
Howie Schwab from the show Stump the Schwab passed away yesterday morning. And say he dealt with quite a few ailments and everything. I was telling BJ, I said, man, I used to dream of being on that show, because I told my wife the same thing last night. I said, I knew I could stump the Schwab. But that's what made me step my game up and go to these obscure facts that nobody knows. It's because of him and trying to get on that show to beat him is why I did those things, why I know these things.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw that last night, I don't normally take certain things, or they don't affect me a little bit. if they're not close enough to me. I'll say it that way. But yes, when I saw the Schwab, it was kind of like a reminder of I'm 48. You know what I'm saying? Like time has a way of humbling you. And like, I think part of the reason why I do this and do some of the projects I do inside is because when I walk away from this earth, I want to walk away knowing that I did or tried everything that I wanted to try. Like it's like a bucket list and I want to check these things off. And the Schwab would have been a thing, like you said, that I would have wanted to check off on a bucket list, like making sure I did something like that. And one thing, whether it's through Clear Productions or Sideline Junkies, like I have a thing that I want to check off. Like I want to be in somebody's press conference, post-game, pre-game, training camp, whatever. And I get to say, my name is Benjamin Conti from Sideline Junkies, Clear Productions Sports. If we have to change the name, it's, I don't know, the Sideline Maniacs in conjunction with Clear Production Sports. Coach, I want to ask you this question about your team going into the next year. Like, that's my next goal. I said I wanted to be on TV, and somehow the dream came through something I wasn't expecting. You know, and I gave a shout-out to Hill, the Ice, for letting me go back into All In Sports and doing that part of it. But now I got to be in the press conference. I'm sorry. I know that went off the rails a little bit, but it's really because, like, when you see guys like the Schwab, when I see a guy like Pete Medhurst, like, they give me a thought that I know guys that know sports. And this is why I rock with you guys so tough, is we know sports. This isn't a glitz and glamour. Like, if I had to break it down, like, this is, we're like NWA in the 80s. And some of the radio shows I listen to, they're just pop. You know what I'm saying? Like, they get over because it's pop music. We got to fight for the audience we get. And we get the audience we get because they know sports, they love sports, and they love the details of sports. You know what I'm saying? And that's what separates us from the guys that we share names with in terms of being junkies. And I'm going to leave it there because I could go more further, but we're going to leave it there.
So, and we definitely going to leave it there because we got to get out of here.
I apologize.
It's all good. To the boss BJ who had to jump out, Midnight Rider, Big Guy KG, thank you to Matt, JoJo in the comments, everybody that tuned in on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, thank you very much. We are the Sideline Junkies. We don't do no overtime. We are out of here.
For sure.